Sportscast, January 20th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Championship Sunday was a mix of dominance and action, and inaction as well. But the best two teams of each conference have been defined. And to join us on this lovely Martin Luther King Day, Jr. Day, Kylo Borden, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you. Pleasure. My pleasure, as always.
Kylo Borden, of course, you know, I would say both games were pretty, good. I mean, like, the AFC game was better, I thought. The NFC game, you know, just the Niners blew it away. But let's just start with the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they started off a little bit slow. And, of course, the Titans really came back, you know, came, you know, strong, but could not have, you know, won the game. What was your recap over the AFC Championship game?
I thought that the Kansas City Chiefs started off really slow. They started off 10-0, struggling. Greg Joseph kicked the field goal, 3-0, 8 plays, 58 yards, 3 minutes and 31 seconds. Derrick Henry then ran for a 4-yard touchdown, 9 plays, 58 yards, 4 minutes and 7 seconds. And after that, it was just Patrick being great. Just on the field, 10 plays, 74 yards, a Tyreek Hill, 8-yard pass. It's really good overall, 23-35, 294-yard touchdowns. This is a really good game. Obviously, you got thrown the ball, and that puts a lot of pressure. And I felt like Kansas City defense, I felt like they really struggled against Derrick Henry. I just felt like in the second half, I just felt like Arthur Smith and the play call, they got away from the game plan a little bit with Derrick Henry. And I felt they had to because Patrick Mahomes just got rolling. And once I've always said, once you get down 3 scores, they were down 35-17. Once you get down 3 scores, it limits the amount of success your running game could do. And obviously, Ryan Tannehill's success is based on the play action. They'll run first football team. And once you get down 3 scores, you obviously got to throw the ball. That increases the pressure on Ryan Tannehill. They don't want him to throw the ball 31 times. That's too much. They'd rather have it 25. But once you get down that much, you can't really do that. So credit goes to Patrick Mahomes. First Super Bowl for them since 1970. Patrick Mahomes won the MVP last year. He was an offside penalty away from beating the Patriots. It's just a credit to the Kansas City Chiefs. Derrick Henry had 19 carries on 69 yards, 588 after having 588 in first three games. It was just a really good game for Patrick Mahomes. Again, 23 for 35, 294 yards, 3 touchdowns. Sammy Watkins was really, really good. 7 catches, 114 yards. The Chiefs are now 27-9 at home in the last 2 seasons. Patrick Mahomes is one of 3 players to win the MVP and make the Super Bowl in his first 3 seasons. He joins Kurt Warner. He won in 1999. Dan Marino lost in 1984, as you know. The Kansas City Chiefs play really well. Andy Reid is the 7th coach to lead his team to the Super Bowl with 2 different teams. The Titans had a great season. They have nothing. I want to make sure Tennessee Titans fans are aware of this. They have nothing to hang their hats on. They just lost to a really better team. They beat the Patriots. They beat the Ravens. Those are really 2 good wins. They just need to figure out what they're going to do with Derrick Henry. They got to pay him his money. Don't pay Ryan Tannehill. Don't go too far with them. They're both free agents. Definitely make sure you take care of Derrick Henry. Get better skill positions. Get a pass rusher. They have nothing to hang their hat on. Patrick Mahomes is now 3-0 versus top 5 pass defenses. Patrick Mahomes has 9 passing touchdowns combined with rushing touchdowns this year. He can also become the first quarterback to win the Super Bowl MVP before turning 25. He can become the first QB to win a Super Bowl and MVP before turning 25, and the 3rd QB to win the Super Bowl before turning 25. He had 11 passing touchdowns this year. And Kansas City averaged 43 points per game this playoffs, coming back from 24-0 against the Texans. They were just really the better team, and they really deserve it. And Tennessee has nothing to really hang their hat on.
The Chiefs were able to contain Derrick Henry to 69 yards. What did they do different with Derrick Henry versus the other teams?
I actually disagree. I don't think it was a more of a case than him a lot of success in the first half. A lot of believers got away from game one in the second half. When they're going to get the ball, they're obviously a play-action-oriented team. In the first half, he was averaging 5 yards a carry. I just felt like as the game got on and you're down by 3 scores, you can't go to Derrick Henry as much when you have a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill. Your offense is too predictable. I actually felt like their offense was too predictable, and it was doomed to fail because, like I said on the last sportscast, I said once you get in a shootout, I said there was no way they were going to be able to get in a shootout. Kansas City just has too many weapons. Kelce, Hill, they just have too many weapons. I don't think that you can't get in a shootout. Kansas City. I feel like Derrick Henry had a lot of success in the first half. It's just as the game gets on and it's predictable, and they don't want Ryan Tannehill to throw the ball 30, 35 times. And once you have Ryan Tannehill drop back and throwing, I feel like Derrick Henry had good success in the first half. But once the second half comes, the offense gets predictable. And once you're down 3 scores, you gotta throw the ball. And if you continue to run the ball, they know to run. They can just gear up against the run. So I just felt like it was more of an opportunity with a quarterback where the Tennessee Titans are run first when you want to be more pass first.
Once again, the Chiefs had a slow start, but then just, you know, came pounding away. Is this what the Chiefs' strategy is, just to start slow and let the other team score and, you know, feel confident and then just pound them away later on throughout the game?
I don't think it's their strategy. Obviously, I don't think they want to start slow. I just think they're a very high-powered team. They're very comfortable. Like I said, they're averaging 43 points per game in this playoffs. I don't think it's a matter of starting slow. I think, of course, they in their ideal circumstances, you don't always want to get comfortable playing from behind. However, I do think it's good to have samples where you do know how to play with adversity, because playing with adversity, as they're going to see in the Super Bowl, you might face adversity, and it's good to know that you have that in the back of your card, that you can have that ability to come back. I don't think you want to rely on it, because you don't always want to be that team to come back, because then you might not have that game where you might be down 24-0, and you may go against the Niners in the Super Bowl, and you may not come back. So I think it's good to have that experience that you can come back. However, I don't think that you want to make a habit of comeback, because you may not be able to fall back on that every single time.
Sammy Watkins had 114 yards, more than Tyreek Hill and Kelce. You think, obviously, like, were the Titans kind of covering Kelce and Hill more, and, of course, this gave to Watkins? Was that, like, their strategy?
I think their strategy coming into the game, I think their strategy had more to do with keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. I think their game plan was, look, we're going to feed Derrick Henry as many times. We're going to kill the clock. They had a drive in the first half. They had a drive which was Titans football. That's what I was saying, their style. They had a drive in the first half, in the first quarter. That was 4 minutes and 7 seconds off. I felt like that was going to be their game plan entire night. But obviously, as Kansas City just kept going down the field, it takes away from your running game. If you're a running football team and you come in and you're trying to control the clock and you're down 2 scores and there's like 7 minutes left, you got to go away from your game plan. And obviously, when I felt bad for Ryan Tannehill, because when it was 35-17, I knew the game was over. I knew Ryan Tannehill wasn't going to come back from 18 points. It's just too much to ask for. When he has to drop back and throw it, he's not the best drop back and throw passer. You know, one of the reasons why Ryan Tannehill was having a lot of success is because it was based on short. Derrick Henry would pick up 4 or 5 yards on first down. They would have short 3rd and 5. He would scramble, make a play on their tight end, Jonah Smith, or throw to A.J. Brown. And I feel like that was the reason why he had a lot of success. But when he was in 3rd and long, he was just having a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's one of the things that with the Titans, what they could have done, obviously, what they did was, you know, keep Mahomes off the field and give the ball to Derrick Henry and be ahead, you know, 2 touchdowns or 1 touchdown ahead. But when Kansas City, you know, caught up and got ahead, it was just impossible for the Titans just to change, like, their whole game plan. It felt like, you know, if you got, like the Chiefs, you know, caught up or ahead, it was over. Something that the Titans need to improve on is having more offense, just not to depend on Derrick Henry, but have more weapons around the quarterback. And, of course, as Kyle was talking about, you know, he says he prefer keeping Derrick Henry, but can they keep both, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry?
I think they definitely have to keep Derrick Henry. There's no way after this full season, 588 rushing yards in the first 3 games, that you can let Derrick Henry go. In terms of Tannehill, I think I saw a lot of people talking about how Mike Vrabel and maybe they could go out to Tom Brady. I don't know what they're going to do with that situation. I think you bring back Ryan Tannehill at the right price. I don't think that you should overpay. I think this is a game where you definitely can see Ryan Tannehill's market value. I think this is definitely a situation where their general manager, I think it's John Robinson, I think their general manager could definitely see. I think this is a game where he could use as leverage on his side in terms of Ryan Tannehill's flaws when Derrick Henry is kind of stopped. I didn't feel like he was all the way stopped as people made it out to be. I felt like it was a situation where they were down 3 scores and it just became predictable. But I think they should definitely bring back Derrick Henry. That definitely should be taken place right now at the exit meetings. I definitely think they should do that after they reflect on the season, give some time to digest. I definitely think that they should meet with Derrick Henry's representatives. In terms of Tannehill, it's all going to be about the right price. It's going to depend on a lot about what he's asking for. He's a free agent. I think it's going to depend a lot about what he's asking for. Derrick Henry definitely bring him back. And Tannehill, it depends what he's asking for. And if there's always that rumor that Tom Brady maybe, you know, so definitely keep in mind for those things.
I heard about that, for sure. I agree. Keep Derrick Henry. I think he was the heart and soul of the team. But I have not heard that rumor about Brady going to Tennessee. I mean, how much of a reality can that be?
I don't think it's much of a reality. I just kind of like Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel was on the Patriots. So there's, you know, they played together on the Patriots.
Yeah,
a little correlation.
Of course, Tom Brady is, I believe he had an interview this past weekend with Westwood One, and he said he's open to different possibilities. He's also open for a contract extension with the Patriots. So we'll for sure have an eye on that. And then, like, there was rumors that he did not move to Connecticut, but it's just a whole different slob of rumors. But only until March 18th, where we start seeing some real things happen with Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know, they also got to look at their plan B if Tom Brady doesn't come back. Is Jared Stidham going to be the starting quarterback? Or they might bring in Ryan Tannehill.
Or they might do the Tua.
You know, that's true. NFC Championship, the game that Raheem Mostert really showed up, a game that it felt like, where was Green Bay? Everyone picked Green Bay for, like, the predictions and everything. Kailu, what happened to your Packers?
This game was just really sad, and it was really depressing watching this game in the first half. 27-0, just blitzed out the gate. Mostert starts off the game, 36-yard rushing touchdown, 6 plays, 89 yards, then a kick of field goal. Then 3 touchdowns by Mostert in the first half. All four of his touchdowns actually went over 15 miles, 36-yard touchdown, 21.87 miles per hour, 9-yard touchdown, 18.2, 18-yard touchdown, 18.16, 22-yard touchdown, 16.17. Aaron Rodgers is constantly under pressure this entire game. The front four really got to him. The fumble, the interception, that was on his fault to Allison. The last one wasn't his fault. Up, down by 17, trying to make a play at the end of the game. The result was pretty much in hands already. It was in hands already. Mostert, 14 carries, 160 yards, 3 touchdowns in the first half, 109 rushing yards before contact, most by any play in the first half this year. San Francisco, 225 yards at halftime, Green Bay, 93. San Francisco had 185 rushing yards, Packers 51. They had 2 turnovers forced. They created 10 points off that in the first half. They controlled time possession 15.12 in the first half, Green Bay 14.48. They were just really dominant. Aaron Rodgers now 1-3 in the NFC Championship game, the Brandon Bosque game, the botched fumble. He's the first quarterback with 300 passing yards and 75% completion percentage. Since I think it was 1950. This just continues the great run of Bay Area sports. 2010, the Giants won the World Series. 2012, the San Francisco Giants won again. 2013, the 49ers go to Super Bowl. The Warriors from 2015 to 2019 was in the finals. 2020 is now the 49ers. But back to the 49ers, they were just really, really dominant. The front four is really dominant. Jimmy Garoppolo is now 21-5 in his regular season playoff career. 39 touchdowns, 22 interceptions, 67% completion percentage, 247.9 passing yards. Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball 3 times in the second half. This game was about the front four of the front four of the Niners, and the secondary was just tremendous. Mostert finished with 220 rushing yards, 29 carries. Just amazing. Four touchdowns, most in Niners history. Just really sensational the entire game.
Yeah, you know, obviously the Niners beat the Packers 37-20, but they were up most of the game. And, you know, towards the end, Aaron Rodgers was trying to get back into it. He had issues with his receivers. You know, he couldn't find any wide open receivers. And the defense, I mean, Nick Bosa, sacking, tackling Aaron Rodgers. How significant was the Niners' defense?
I thought it was really significant. They made trouble on Aaron Rodgers the entire game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was constantly under duress. Even the offensive line, I feel like they got outplayed. Batiora really got outplayed. Jennings had a penalty. Etoy Jennings, the Packers, who had a really good year, really good thing. That really just got outplayed. The 49ers was just a more physical team. I feel like Green Bay just really, really got outplayed. And it really showed they can rush four. They don't have to send a blitz. That team is really impressive. Jimmy Garoppolo only threw the ball eight times, three times in the second half. I mean, that team is just really good. They're going back to Super Bowl for the first time since 2012. That team is actually there's hope for teams like the Giants, the Dolphins, all those teams. They're now the third four-win team coming off previous to now make the Super Bowl. 1999 Rams, if you recall, did that, and a 1988 Bengals. So there's hope for those teams. And they were just – the 49ers defense is just really, really good. They're really – DeForest Buckner, Nick Bosa, those guys are all first-round talent. D4 was even impressive in that game. They're just really, really good.
How would you rate – obviously Aaron Jones had a tremendous – not the best game, but had a good game. He was doing a lot of rushing. What were your thoughts about his performance?
I thought it was okay. I thought, obviously, Green Bay got back in the game. I thought Green Bay actually in the second half played a better second half. It was just a little bit too late. Green Bay in the second half started an opening drive, 11 plays, 75 yards. It was 6 minutes and 16 seconds. Obviously, I was happy we got the score. I would like for it to be a little bit shorter, but we did score there. I felt like Green Bay played better in the second half, 20-10. They did outscore them in the second half. Aaron Jones had he was really good in the second half. I didn't like Matt LaFleur going for two. Didn't really matter. It didn't really matter because the game was over. But going for two, 34-13, it would have been a three-score game no matter what. So I didn't really understand the move. Why would he go for two there? But it was no here or there. But in terms of Aaron Jones' performance, in the second half, it was better. In the first half, I felt like he played well off the screens. And I honestly felt like Green Bay had some success despite not scoring in the first half. I felt like they had some success moving the ball. It was a drive where they had the botch exchange with Corey Lindsey, and they were driving with Aaron Rodgers. I felt like that was a huge play. They had a drive, six plays, 50 yards. They were down 17-0. And obviously with that amount of drive, maybe you get a touchdown there, a field goal there. In the sense of it now, it doesn't really mean a thing. But maybe if you get a touchdown there, it's a 17-7 game and it's a different game. So I actually felt that drive for Green Bay actually killed their hopes of winning the game. And shortly after that, I feel like they had really good game plan at the beginning of the game. They obviously wanted to get the ball out quick for Aaron Rodgers so to avoid the hit. And I didn't feel like Nick Bosa was getting as much pressure in the first half. But in the second half, once you give Cisco that lead and that running game was just too much for Green Bay.
Davante Adams had 138 yards. What did you think about his performance?
I felt it was better in the second half. I felt obviously catching that touchdown to Richard Sherman. I felt like that was really good. It got called back, but obviously catching that pass to Richard Sherman, I feel like that was really good for Davante Adams. I feel like a lot of it was in garbage time, but I feel like he really did a good job in this game. He was the only Packers skill position. And my larger concern is, like, the Packers have just wasted, like, Aaron Rodgers' career away.
Speaking about the Packers, where do you see the Packers right now? Can they compete next year? And what pieces do they need?
It is kind of tough because as a fan, like, I want Aaron Rodgers the best, but he's now 11-8 in the playoffs. And I just feel like he's lost in the divisional. He's now 11-8. He's lost three overtime losses in the playoffs. This just adds to another game where his defense has just disappointed him. He's lost in the 2009, his second playoff game as a starter. He lost 51-45. That was the game they couldn't stop Larry Fitzgerald. He's lost a 2014 NFC Championship game because they botched the onside kick. He's now lost. In 2016, he lost to the he lost because the Green Bay Packers defense gave 44 points. They couldn't stop Julio Jones in the 2016 season. That was January 22nd of 2017. This now adds to Aaron Rodgers' continued just losses in the playoffs because his defense is not to say that Aaron Rodgers was great in this game. I feel like he played a steep loss, and he could have played better in the first half, 27-0. But he's now continuously lost games in which his defense just let him down every single time in the playoffs. Not to say that he's blameless. He had plays in the first half where he was just missing screens and missing plays, and I feel like he could have done a better job in the first half. But this now adds to just his continued legacy of just Green Bay just wasting opportunities. And in terms of what they could do next year, like the NFC is getting better. I think they were relatively healthy this year. They had a breakout performance from Aaron Jones this year. I like Matt LaFleur, but the NFC is getting better. The 49ers are going to be there. Maybe the Cowboys are back next year. The Rams are going to be tough. You're always going to have a sleeper that comes out of nowhere. Like I said, the 49ers are now the third four-win team to now make the Super Bowl after going having four wins the previous season. So there's always going to be teams in the NFC that get better. You have the Rams. You have the 49ers. You have the Saints. Maybe Minnesota. You're not going to be – chances are you're not going to be 13-3. You're not going to have a bye. Green Bay had good health this year. Those things can still happen, but chances are you're not going to be 13-3, have a bye. I mean, the Vikings are coming. You still have the Niners. The Saints are there. There's always going to be a sleeper. Maybe the Eagles improve next year. In terms of what Green Bay needs, they need a skill position receiver. They can get better being more physical at the line of scrimmage. But in terms of Green Bay, I've always said, like, they've kind of wasted Aaron Rodgers' prime away at their ability. In the first couple of years in free agency, they didn't spend. Now they spend. I like the direction they're going in. But you're kind of wasting Aaron Rodgers' career away. He's 36 years old and won Super Bowls.
Who knows? He could be that Tom Brady who can play till his 40s or also like Drew Brees.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you got to look at the rest of your parts. Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal, and I still think that he can play at a high level. The point is, look, the 49ers aren't going anywhere. The Saints aren't going nowhere. Drew Brees is going to be right there. The Cowboys still have a lot of talent. They can improve. The Eagles can improve. The Rams may be back next year. There's going to be another sleeper. Even if Aaron Rodgers gets through all those components, Patrick Mahomes is going to be there waiting for you in the AFC. So there's no guarantee that this one Super Bowl. Chances are you're not going to duplicate 13-3 again in the NFC. Kirk Cousins still there. They had a good season, the Vikings, this year. So chances are you're not going to duplicate 13-3, a bye, and good health again in the NFC. We'll see, but it's going to be tough. And as a Packer fan, I hate to say this, but it's going to be tough. And I just have to lean towards, I mean, a larger concern is that Aaron Rodgers might end up with one ring in his career. I don't want to rule it out, but
That's a quiet possibility. Of course, he will be a Hall of Famer in the future. And, we'll see what happens. NFC, some a lot of good teams, a lot of potentials out there. Like just Kylie was saying, L.A. Rams, we got the Vikings, we got the Cowboys, and, of course, the 49ers, the team that is in the upswing, which is a huge turnaround what they have done these past couple years, acquiring Garoppolo and also Nick Bosa, a big, big star of this team. Next week, we'll be having a full Super Bowl preview show. Kailu, give us a quick snapshot of what you see between the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. A little quick snapshot.
I think it's going to be a really good Super Bowl. I think it's innovation versus – I think Andy Reid obviously lost his first Super Bowl against the Patriots. I think it's innovation versus Andy Reid, who's been there and done it a while. I think this is going to be a really good Super Bowl. The tight end matchup is really interesting. George Kittle against Travis Kelce. I think that's going to be really great to watch. Can the Niners get pressure? Can Nick Bosa, DeForest Buckner, and them get pressure on Patrick Mahomes? I think that's going to be really good to see. I'd say the 49ers, can their corners, Mosley, Sherman, Travis Kelce, who is Richard Sherman going to be lined up? Is he going to be lined up on the left side? Is they going to line him up on Tyreek Hill? Are they going to try to have him take away Kelce? I think that's going to be interesting to watch in terms of the chess matchup between their corners versus the Kansas City skill positions. I think that's going to be the coaching matchup is very interesting. I think the defensive matchup between Slot and and the Chiefs, Andy Reid, I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. So I think the tight end matchup, the corners versus the Chiefs skill position receivers, Kyle Shanahan versus Andy Reid, Andy Reid being back in the Super Bowl, I think that's really good. Kansas City has now ended their drought. The longest drought is now over in the Super Bowl. The Jets were at 51 games, not making the Super Bowl since 1968. The Browns, 51, never. And the Lions are 54, so Kansas City ended that drought. Hats off to Andy Reid for that. That was really amazing to see him do that. But I think it's going to be a chess matchup between those coaches and defense and offense. The 49ers defense against Kansas City's offense.
And, of course, we'll be having a full Super Bowl preview show next week. We'll probably have Kylo, Victor, and maybe Ryan Krista, maybe Justin Riley to come on the show and preview between these two teams and those two teams. We'll be heading to Miami the first weekend of February. The San Francisco versus Kansas City Chiefs should be pretty exciting. But, you know, pretty much what I'm looking at, is this a high-powered offense versus a great defense? Is this what we're looking at?
I think so. I think this is going to be a really great matchup. I think Kansas City, even though they won, I think they have a couple of things to clean up. I think they had a couple offside penalties that you don't want to have in the thing. So I think that's something for them to clean up. And they had a pass interference on 3rd and 22 at the time. It was huge. At the time, they could have forced a field goal and end up being touchdown. But I think Kansas City has a couple of things to clean up. And so do the Niners. That's just football. But I think this is definitely going to be a matchup between those things. I want to see how it plays because Kansas City was first in the NFC against the run. AFC. And I think that the Niners are a really good running team. Kansas City is a really good passing team. So I think it'll be interesting to see those two teams contrast their styles.
Of course, we'll be tentatively have the Super Bowl show next Thursday, 6 p.m. We'll have Victor, Kylo Borden, and Justin Riley to preview what's going to happen between these two and see what's who will win, because these two teams are pretty much the most exciting teams on their respective conferences. Kylo, anything else before we head into predictions?
No, nothing else. I want to shout out something. Kate Sowers is going to be the first NFL coach in the history, a female coach in the Super Bowl to be working at Kansas City and the Niners game.
Yeah, pretty interesting fact right there. Let's go into the NBA. We have a lot of games today for Martin Luther King Day. Toronto at Atlanta.
I think Toronto definitely wins this game. Just continue a good momentum. Outside of a Trae Young game going off, I think that Toronto should handle this game pretty good.
Sixers at Brooklyn.
I think the Sixers should win this game, but again, the Sixers don't play well on the road. So I'm going to go with the upset here, and I'm going to go Brooklyn.
What's going on with Kyrie? Is he like – I heard there's a lot of noise coming from him.
I think Kyrie's comments always get overblown. I think what he was saying, like, I think what Kyrie was saying when he was talking about the team and, like, talking about things, he wasn't criticizing the players. He was more saying, look, the trade deadline is coming up February 7th. I like what we have. We're just trying to add. I think a lot of his comments were – I think they were overblown. I think when he was talking about the team, I think he was obviously talking about Kevin Durant was there. The team would be a lot better. I think that was true. I didn't think he had to say it, but I think that he comes from the LeBron school of thinking, like, look, we're going to get better at the trade deadline. So I didn't think his comments had to do much more anything. I just think he was saying, look, we're going to improve. The trade deadline is coming. We're always trying to get better. That's it. I don't think that he was really trying
And of course, Kyrie knew coming into the season that he'll probably have to wait till next season to see things happening once Kevin Durant comes back in the mold. So, you know, just playing the patience card. Yes, I mean, they could be competitive, but he does need Kevin Durant to go deep into the playoffs and maybe win a championship in the NBA Finals. Lakers at the Boston Celtics. Anthony Davis might come back for that game.
The Lakers have lost one game in 2020, and I think the Lakers, Kemba Walker has never beat LeBron James. The one-time thing, he's 0-20 in his career. I don't see that happening. Anthony Davis will come back. The Lakers are flying off the win off the Rockets. It's a rivalry game against the Celtics. I can see the Lakers winning by 15. LeBron played really well against the Rockets. The Lakers are 34-8. They've only lost one time in 2020 to 18-3 on the road. Kemba Walker has never beat LeBron James. The Lakers are playing really, really good basketball. KCP is playing really well, who I wanted off the team. He's playing really, really great of late. Frank Vogel did a great job in the second half putting Kuzma on Russell Westbrook. That was really great after Caruso was struggling in the first half. The Lakers are playing really, really well. You get the chance to have Anthony Davis back tonight, 27 points per game, 50.4% from the floor, 85.9% from free throw. I think the Lakers should have no problem winning this game. It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be closer than the Lakers want. But coming off that win off against the Rockets, the Lakers just keep winning.
And the Miami Heat are number two in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Kailu, is Miami Heat the real deal?
I think the Miami Heat, in terms of the real deal in the regular season or the playoffs?
Well, regular season, but going into the playoffs. Do you think they'll do well in the playoffs?
No, I think they'll have a good seat. I think I like Miami. They play hard. Jimmy Butler's a really good player, but he's not on that MVP level. I think I've always said with the Miami Heat, they'll be a really good regular season team, and they could win a round or two in the playoffs. But when you're facing, and I wouldn't count them out, and they give Milwaukee challenges in terms of like pushing them, extending the series longer than Milwaukee wants. But the difference between Giannis and Jimmy Butler, Giannis is just like a better player, so I think he would definitely win this series. I think they'll compete really hard, and I like Miami's young players, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo. They play hard for Coach Spoelstra. He gets the most out of his talent. But in the playoffs, it is about talent, and I think Giannis is a notch above Jimmy Butler. He's a good player. Giannis is a great player, and I think they'll be fun in the regular season. They'll win a lot of games. They may win a round or two depending on the matchup, but in the playoffs, I think that in the playoffs, superstars wins. I definitely think Miami's a really good team. They can win a round or two. They'll give a top seed all the security they want. But in the end, you know, the Bucks and Sixers are still the favorite.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. Of course, the NBA season, the halfway point is coming soon. The All-Star game is on February 18th or February 10th. It's somewhere in February. And we'll be definitely catching on to see what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks in the NBA. Finally, Pro Bowl, AFC versus NFC. Who you think will win, Kailu?
This is tough because I've always gotten a Pro Bowl. I think it's really bad. Like, the rules are different and players don't play. Players going to Super Bowl don't play. So, like, it's really tough to predict the Pro Bowl because, like, you don't know who's going to play. So I'll just go and I'm going to stick with the NFC.
NFC, that's where the Packers play. And, Kailu, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Aaron Rodgers?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12 and also on Instagram at the same handle.
And, of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll have the latest and greatest. Carolina Panthers just hired their offensive coordinator coach, and you could check out what is happening in Carolina. And, of course, we got Tyler with the recruiting news happening. And then Justin Riley just wrote an article about Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City and the potential they have for the future. And also there's an article about Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill. Who would you keep in Tennessee? Or you can keep both. There is an option to keep both, but both have got to take some less money in order to see some progress. Anyways, Kailu, as always, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it.